Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her and who is socially distancing.
And Akua, pronouns she and her, your friendly neighborhood glass dildo connoisseur, mental health professional who is also socially distancing.
Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews from insightful folks. And on today's episode, we're talking about the FDA ban on MSM blood donations. That means men who have sex with men. The sweetest virtual dates, navigating solo sex while you're home with kids, dickheads on dating apps, how to get over ghosting, de-attaching yourself from dick, the beauty of volunteering, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had on this here podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag #InnerHoUprising so we can see it and the hashtag #PodIn so other people can see it. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHoUprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoUprising Community, that is CUMMUNITY. And you can head over to InnerHoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, to pay a hoe, or to check out the rest of our merchandise.
And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or podcasting, and any of the other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. Also, if you would like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would love to do that also. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Now, a recurring segment that we don't always do, but we're bringing back for this week, is Bay of the Week. This week, our Bay of the Week is Barry of the platform Podcast in Color. If you don't know by now, Podcast in Color is the largest directory of podcasts created by and for people of color, and it recently turned 5 years old.
Ooh, congrats!
Yes. Wanted to shout out Barry for all of her hard work in this space, and also to put all of you folks who don't know about Podcast in Color onto Podcast in Color. So if you're looking for new shows to listen to in this time of social distancing, you can head over to podcastincolor.com/pods, sorted by category, sitting there waiting for you to listen. And congratulations to Barry. Now we are going to move on to Ho of the Week. Hoes of the Week are where we shout out the homies who have supported IHU in the past week. Hoes of the Week also get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is that they can guess the meaning behind their nicknames. So this week, we have Adaze, aka Amethyst, who wrote a lovely shout out to us on Twitter this week, and it really lifted my spirits. We have Chameleon here, Chameleon there, Tougher than Nigerian here, whose real name is Camille, who upped her pledge on Patreon. We have Rosemary, aka Pink Diamond, who also up their pledge on Patreon. We have Jordan, aka 23, who sent us a really nice and uplifting message on Twitter at 1 a.m. And because I am always awake, I did see it. And it was much appreciated. So thank you, Jordan. Also, shout out to Tawiwi Martini, Tina Belcher, Ray and Ash, aka Chuck and Pikachu, new nicknames, and Chris, aka Toferson, that's also a new nickname, along with the homies from the BBB and their patrons who joined us for a Netflix watch party last week. We'll be doing additional watch parties for patrons and for our general audience in the future, so stay tuned. Wasn't that fun?
It was so much fun. Ah.
I love how the movies are like not the best movies, but the time is the best time.
Because it's all about the community. It's all about the people there.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate everybody getting their jokes off. It's very fun. Feels like real life again.
It does.
If you would like to be a Ho of the Week and get a cool nickname, here are some things you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. We are very understanding to the fact that at this time that many people across the entire nation and world have lost jobs due to this fucked up pandemic situation. So please, if it is not within your means, feel free to not donate any money to us. Mm-hmm. Look out for yourself. And a free way that you can help us out is by leaving 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, because that lets folks know that Inner Ho Uprising exists and that you really, really appreciate Inner Ho Uprising. Also, shout out to Carly, who wrote a really sweet note like, oh, I had to like remove my card because I don't have any more money, but I'm going to get back to you when I have more money. And I wrote back to them like, no, like, don't do that. Like, no, it's okay.
They were like, my next check is coming in a week. I'll be right. And it was like, it's okay. It's okay. Keep that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Please do whatever you need to do to look out for yourself and your loved ones at this time. You can give us support by leaving 5-star reviews. You can give us support by shouting us out in article or post on social media, or just like sending really, really sweet DMs to us on Instagram or Twitter. Like, all of that means a lot. And yeah, we don't want you to like put yourselves in bad situations during an equally bad time. To the people who do have the means and would like to contribute, you can still donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerho. You can also become a patron on patreon.com/innerhouprising. The links to do those things are in the show notes. Now, let's get into self-care tip of the week. This week's self-care tip of the week, I'm proposing that if you feel up to it, you volunteer your time. So I feel like folks might feel helpless and isolated during these times, and volunteering your time towards some COVID-19 related relief efforts may help you regain that sense of humanity that might feel missing, or that sense of connectedness that might feel missing.
There's a lot of benefits to volunteering. It can, first and foremost, you know, when people volunteer, it does lift our morale and it does connect. It does help us connect to our, or regain our sense of humanity, like Samantha's saying, completely. It helps to counteract, you know, stress, anxiety, depression. It increases your self-confidence, and it really helps to increase your sense of purpose, which can get lost in dark times like this, and also lost in like the drudgery that is capitalism.
Volunteering be doing things, y'all. So you might now be asking, okay, bitch, the fuck does volunteering look like right now? Like, what does volunteering during a pandemic look like? Mm-hmm. And obviously we want folks to continue to heed shelter in place warnings and, you know, stay safe for themselves. If you're an asymptomatic carrier, not transmit the virus to other people, and also, you know, protect your families at home and everybody else you come in contact with. However, there are some volunteering opportunities that you can do from home. Isn't that cool? You can televisit isolated seniors and other vulnerable populations via phone or video chat. You at home, I don't know where you live, but you can research local senior visiting organizations in your area, contact them, and see if they're looking for volunteer televisitors. That is something that I personally am going to be looking into in the next week, because in my neighborhood specifically, there are a couple of organizations that do that. And yeah, I just want to like, I think I'm realizing right now that isolation is probably going to have a very large impact on a lot of folks, and folks who are in vulnerable populations are particularly going to be affected by that. And I just want to do my part in like helping uplift people during this time. For all the sewers out there, you can make masks for healthcare providers or other essential workers. Some hospitals are so low on PPE, that's personal protective equipment, and N95 and surgical masks, that they're actually using cloth masks, which aren't as effective, but CDC guidelines are saying that at this point it's better than nothing, just having some sort of barrier in place. There are also folks who do make these like cloth masks, and they make it with a pocket that you can put in certain filters. Like, some people use like vacuum bags as filters, mm-hmm. and that's to provide a little bit extra protection than what just cloth would provide. There are now going around, there's like sewing tutorials and guidelines and sewing patterns on how to make masks. The New York Times has one. I'm going to put one in the show notes for this episode. And how to find out if a hospital near you is accepting masks, you can Google your state or whatever region in the world you live in and the phrase homemade mask donations, and you can see whether or not hospitals are in your area are taking homemade mask donations. If you accidentally freaked out and hoarded a shitload of personal protective equipment that you now know that you don't need, and you see that there is a need in your community, you can research whether or not local hospitals are accepting PPE donations. So now you might be asking, where do I send this stuff to? Once again, you can Google your state or whatever region in the world you live in and the phrase homemade mask donations, or just like PPE donations, and see whether or not they are taking those kinds of donations. I only live in New York, so I can't speak to everywhere in the world, but I am going to leave a link in the show notes for how to donate PPE and homemade masks to hospitals in New York specifically. Then for the people who want to still leave their house, there are non-shelter-in-place volunteering efforts for you. So this is only recommended under the condition that you fully understand that taking part in this puts you and other folks who you shelter with at risk for contracting the virus, and also that, you know, you can spread the virus when you are outside if you are an asymptomatic carrier. So I definitely don't recommend this if you are immunocompromised and if you are living with a condition or over the age of 50, or if you shelter in place with someone of any of those identities. So there are meal delivery for vulnerable population volunteer efforts. So that would involve you partnering with an organization in your community that prepares and or delivers food for homebound folks, seniors, and for transient folks, which you might come to know as homeless people, but transient folks is a more
person-centered term because a person is not just their home.
Yes. So you can Google to see if efforts like this are taking part in your community. I will say, do not reinvent someone's wheel. So please actually Google to see if efforts like this are taking part in your community, because chances are they are. Also do your research on how these efforts are practicing social distancing. So do they provide masks? Do they provide gloves? Do they require that you wear masks and gloves? These are all things to keep in mind. I would say probably don't partner with any organization that isn't at least requiring people to wear masks and gloves. Whether or not they have access to them, that might be like they might ask their volunteers to bring their own masks and gloves. But if they're not requiring that at this point, then you probably should not volunteer with that organization, because it's not a very science-focused organization at this point. Also, if you tested positive for coronavirus and have fully recovered and have consulted with a doctor that all is well at this time, you might want to consider donating blood, because people who have antibodies against coronavirus, blood is being used at this time for blood transfusions for people who are like battling the disease. So that is something that you might want to consider. And then also, we are talking about blood a little bit later and how that pertains to MSM community. So stay tuned for that. To close this segment out, definitely keep tabs on what's going on in your community. None of these efforts might speak to you or may be feasible for you at this time, but my prediction is, and the prediction of medical professionals and science professionals, is that we're probably going to be going through this for a while. So other opportunities for you to support your community, whether while sheltering in place or not, will come up, and you might want to engage in them then. So definitely keep an ear to the streets. And that is Self-Care Tip of the Week.
Thank you, Sam. To add on to that, and again, because Sam and I live in New York, I can only speak to New York. New York City started a mental health hotline specifically to those with going through issues or difficulties because of COVID-19. And they had called upon all licensed mental health professionals to like volunteer their time. And I just wasn't in a place to do it because I'm still working as a professional, and like my same 40 hours go to my current clients. And then I'm a parent at home and homeschooling, things like that. And I felt really bad that I couldn't like do anything to, you know, add to the efforts. And now you've just like opened up my eyes that I can literally go check on the senior citizens that live in my building, televisit them and things like that. So thank you. I'm going to have Sam put in the number for the New York City COVID mental health hotline in case y'all need it or want it.
That will be in the show notes. Okay, now we're going to get into a segment that we like to call Fuck That. That is our current events segment. And today we are talking about the history and actual factuals behind MSM restriction on blood donations. And MSM is an acronym that stands for Men Who Have Sex With Men. Akua, let us know the real tea.
So recently, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration reduced their previous ban on blood donations from MSM, or Men Who Have Sex With the Men, donors from 12 months to 3 months. That might sound like a win, but it's still some bullshit. And I'm going to tell you why. As of now, as it stands, only 38% of the United States is eligible to donate blood based on the FDA restrictions. That is not that many people. And when we add in current social distancing and, you know, shelter in place orders, that really limits the amount of people that are donating blood. Why are we so worried about blood donations at a time like this when most people are home? Is that there are still people receiving medical care that need blood transfusions. And when we don't have enough blood, that, you know, limits the amount of life-saving procedures that can be done, emergency instances and so forth. Like the world has not, though it may feel like it, the world has not stopped and revolved around Corona. Things are still happening for people outside of Corona and COVID every day. And we have to maintain our regular infrastructure and continue to build it up to fight this pandemic. Mm-hmm. So why only 38% of the U.S. is eligible? Because the FDA has mad restrictions on who can donate blood. And it ranges from age to your current health to your traveling habits. Currently ineligible are IV drug users. That is current and past IV drug use. Sex workers, men who have sex with men, women who have sex with men who have sex with men. If you had any recent tattoos or piercings in the past 12 months and or have traveled to a malaria endemic area of the world within 12 months. And so much more. I could not get into the full list of all of the restrictions, but when you go to donate, they will more than likely tell you why, what those restrictions are. So specifically, we're focusing on the ban on men who have sex with men. And it was a lifetime ban that was first implemented in 1983 at the height of the HIV epidemic. And with that ban, if you were a man who had sex with other men and you have been having sex with other men since 1977, so effectively everybody, if you've been out or gay or having sex since 1977, you could not donate blood. And the rationale behind it was to keep HIV out of the national blood supply. Understandable given the time at 1983 at the height of the HIV epidemic. We didn't know how HIV was transmitted. There was limited information on how to treat it, what was causing it, and so forth. Currently, men who have sex with men comprise of 70 of all new HIV infections in the U.S. The ban, as I'll be getting into, has recently been reduced. Well, it was reduced from a lifetime ban back in 1983, or as of 1992 in 2015, to a ban of 12 months. So if you were a man who had sex with another man, or a female who, or a woman who have had sex with men who have sex with other men, you could not donate blood for 12 months in that encounter. You had to be abstinent for 12 months to donate blood. Now, that is absolutely ridiculous because Sam, you can speak to this. Though I understand giving blood is, you know, important and life-saving, I've never been pressed to give nobody my blood, that I am just abstaining from sexual pleasure for 12 months.
Mm-hmm. I took that as less of a, I'm going to purposely abstain from sex for 12 months just to donate blood, and more of a, I know I haven't had sex in 12 months, so I'm okay to donate blood.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's just the way that if anybody was like actually interested in donating blood, that's the way that I would have perceived them perceiving it. Like if I was a man who had sex with men, that's the way that I would perceive it.
Oh, I haven't.
As opposed to like, let me like stave off to donate blood.
Okay.
But I know that I also understand that there's like, for lack of a better phrase, like bad blood between the MSM community and the FDA and blood donations, you know?
No, I get what you're saying. And we'll get into the stigma that this has caused for those in the SMN community and between healthcare providers. But I saw this, and for most people, it's like going to donate and they're like, no, you have to come back in 12 months and not have sex with somebody else.
Okay.
And you're just like, what? I'm not coming back then. Like, the ban was reduced from a lifetime ban to 12 months in 2015 during the Obama administration. And then recently, as of April 2nd, 2020, it was reduced from 12 months to 3 months of a ban in response to the urgent need for blood supply during the COVID-19 pandemic, push from legislators and LGBTQ allies to help increase the amount of eligible donors. Because again, this ban against men who have sex with men has no scientific standing. So the FDA screens every unit of blood donated for infectious diseases prior to it entering the donation pool, every single unit, and it tests for HIV. Unlike back in 1983, there are current tests and treatment for HIV, but there are current tests for HIV that are able to detect the presence of the virus up to, I believe it's 4 to 11 days after infection. This was not the case back in 1983. I completely understand that. But we are now in the year of 2020. So the tests are so advanced that now they're able to identify HIV with such a high precision that only one unit, if at worst case scenario, only one unit of infected blood with HIV would show up in 3.1 million units of donated blood. One out of 3.1 million. So at this point, at where we are technologically and with our medical advances, there is no reason with those kind of numbers and that kind of probability that why men who have sex with men, women who have sex with men who have sex with men, all of it cannot donate blood if they are currently HIV negative at the time of donation. The American Public Health Association also confirms that there's no significant risk in allowing men who have sex with men in donating, and that the whole deferral ban was really modeled after policies of other countries out of fear, out of stigmatization, rather than actual empirical scientific studies. Which is also a lie, because there are many countries who have a 3-month ban, sure. And at this time, at least 12, including Spain, Argentina, South Africa, who have no time deferment and perform donations based on risk assessments. So, you know, speaking to the donor, talking about their sexual habits, their lifestyles, drug use, you know, sexual habits and whatnot, and identifying if they're at a greater risk of having an infectious disease or what for, and identifying donors that way. This ban just perpetuates stigma. It continues to perpetuate the idea that HIV is a gay disease, quote unquote, which we know to this day, although 70% of new infections come from men who have sex with men, that there are high rates of HIV for cisgender, you know, women. There are high rates of HIV dependent on race, age, gender, you know, all of the intersections. And it ignores the nuances of queer relationship. You can be a man who has sex with other men and be in a monogamous relationship. Your risk then is lowered. Whereas there is no ban, there is no restriction on cisgendered heterosexual people who out there having sex with multiple partners. There's no ban on, you know, those engaging in polyamorous relationships, whether ethical or non-ethical, but there is all of this ban focused on men who have sex with men, without the consideration of, you know, what their lifestyle is, except for the fact that they're having sex with other men. Part of this ban also stigmatizes and misgenders trans women. So what I read in a lot of the articles were the fight for trans women to be able to donate blood, because the FDA considers a person's birth sex, or the sex they're assigned at birth, to be their sex for their entire life. For the purposes of donating blood or being eligible. And in that, trans women who were assigned male at time of birth are thrown into this lump of men who have sex with men, whether they've actually had sex with a man in their entire lifetime. There are stories of those donation locations turning away trans women and threatening to out them and blacklist them to other centers so they can't go elsewhere, which is absolutely disgusting.
So based solely off of the fact that they're transgender women and not even questioning their sexual history?
Not even questioning their sexual history. You could be a trans woman you could be a gay trans woman and never had sex with a man or someone with a penis, and they don't care. There is such leniency in the FDA's documentation or mentioning of trans women that other locations take it, because of their own bias, take this policy and like run with it to, you know, stigmatize trans women. And as you mentioned earlier, it continues to grow the distrust of the healthcare system and engagement with healthcare professionals among men who have sex with men and other people in the LGBTQ population, which ends up leading to a higher incidence of HIV among them, because it's not just about donating blood. It's one instance, it's one microaggression after the other, in which we're not going to go to medical professionals to talk about our sexual health history, to talk about possible infections, to talk about possible exposure, because of the stigma that, you know, this culture has created around them and their lifestyles.
That's why I really appreciate, I didn't know this, thank you for doing all of this, but I appreciate what Spain, Argentina, and South Africa are doing, because it's like, it seems like a person-to-person based approach where it's like, I'm not blanketing you out or into this because of like one identity marker, but I'm really going to like ask you about your actual life. And that seems that that can even open up conversation for like other things where it's like you're consulting with this person who you're donating blood with or whatever, and they do see like some areas of risk in your lifestyle, whether it be unprotected sex or intravenous drug use or whatever. And from there they can be like, okay, maybe this is not the right time for you to donate blood. Here is like, it seems like it can open up space for like them to give people resources onto how to live like healthier lives by chance.
Mm-hmm. And that is a part of the argument and the part of the action to repeal, because in this, people are being turned away without any alternatives to what they can donate, or, you know, of what your lifestyle looks like and what are the resources we can get you to live a healthier life. And all of this, it's not just about donating blood, it's actual access to healthcare, to quality healthcare that people are being, you know, deprived of. So in the time of the Rona, there's been over 2,700 blood drives canceled because of the restrictions on like group events. And we know that blood drives can become very big events with multiple people. And during this time, we cannot have those many people in the same space, you know, for one life-saving cause against another. And even still, there's been 86,000 fewer donations due to social distancing restrictions and stay in shelter-in-place restrictions. So there's not the same amount of blood being donated to keep up our national blood supply that we still need, because again, things are happening that people still need this blood. In March 19th, I believe there was a call by, I can't remember, one of the president's people then, you know, was actually, you know, calling for more blood donations because of our limited blood supply. And in March, a group of senators sent a letter to the FDA to address the need for more blood donations and to repeal this deferral ban against men who have sex with men, citing that these restrictions are antiquated, they're stigmatizing people, and it's not scientifically based or helping in the fact that we are currently in a situation where we need all hands on deck. We need all those who can help to help. Both senators include Tammy Baldwin, Cory Booker, Sherrod Brown, Scott Weiner, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. I couldn't get the list of all 15. I tried. But I, you know, want to say their names because we have to, in these political times, we have to know those who are doing the work so that we can keep them reelected in those seats.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in early April, AOC Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the House Oversight and Reform Committee Chairwoman Carol Maloney also wrote a letter to the FDA's Commissioner Stephen Hahn, also asking for a repeal of these restrictions. GLAAD also started a petition to repeal the ban, which had gotten over 25,000 signatures. And as of April 2nd, the FDA, heeding this pressure and this push, reduced the deferral period to 3 months and states that, quote unquote, this new reduction will continue to apply outside the context of the current public health emergency, and they have plans to revise and replace the guidelines within 60 days of the end of the coronavirus pandemic. So they're saying that these new reductions are permanent and they will officially be written and on the books within 2 months after the pandemic is over. So it's not going to be, oh, just because Corona, and then once Corona is done, we're back to 12 months. Of course, we're not stopping there, because the ban, again, is not based on any scientific evidence, and people are still pushing to have it repealed completely. So you can still go to sign the petition by GLAAD, and Sam will have that in the show notes for you as well. The Williams Institute, which is a pro-LGBTQ program at UCLA, estimates that 360,000 people will become eligible donors, which will save the lives of more than a million people, because one donation of blood from a person can be used to help three other people. Like, that's lots of people. And, you know, hopefully this will also be a move to reduce the stigma against men who have sex with men and address, you know, the stigma and the mistreatment of trans women and other people in the community.
Mm-hmm. Seems like the best thing for the greater good of everybody. See what happens when you uplift marginalized people? And how everybody benefits? Isn't that such a wild concept?
Everybody benefits.
All right, I would like to take a moment to drop some science on you all. So apparently, conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which form a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating. It's kind of messed up. It's like putting foil paper in your armpit. Well, luckily, Native is a deodorant that is made without aluminum, so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body, and you will also smell better in the process, so that's pretty dope. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. Making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean you have to sacrifice on performance. Native will keep you smelling and feeling fresh all day long. If pairing your deodorant to your gender is your jam, Native comes in a wide variety of options, typically geared towards mask and femme folks. They also offer a unscented option and a baking soda free formula for those who'd rather smell of nothing. With over 10 scents, including their classics and rotating seasonals, you're guaranteed to find one you love. Their classic scents include coconut and vanilla, which is the most popular, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. Though we are social distancing, I do not like to smell bad. And I do not want the other people around me to smell me smelling bad. So I am still using my deodorant from Native. Yeah, so if smelling good while you're at home for your people is your jam, or for yourself, or for your dog, or for your cat, or whatever, then Native is definitely, they've got your back during this time. And as always, I am being held down by my new favorite, which is eucalyptus and mint. It just smells so good. Like at the end of the day when I'm like, oh, I'm about to take a shower, and you like take your shirt off and it still smells good. Just such a pleasant feeling. Native also gives you the option of having fresh breath, which is also still important during this time of sheltering in place, along with another all-natural product, Native toothpaste. You gotta keep your dental health up.
In these masks, when you can smell your own breath, y'all gonna head over to Native real quick.
That's mad funny. I was thinking like you don't want to like get a cavity or something like that. And have to go to your dentist unnecessarily, but Aku was like, nah, you don't want to smell your own stink breath, you stinky motherfucker. Well, Native allows you to not do that. Native gives you the option of having fresh breath with another all-natural product, Native Toothpaste. They are offering two minty flavors with the option of fluoride or fluoride-free. That will help keep your mouth squeaky clean. Whitening wild mint and peppermint oil, both fluoride and fluoride-free, and detoxifying charcoal with mint, both fluoride and fluoride-free. It whitens teeth, freshens breath, very important, is enamel safe, and its fluoride versions prevent cavities. Plus, it's made without triclosan, sulfates, artificial preservatives, or parabens. Basically the not good stuff. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code IHU during checkout. Once again, for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code I as in inner, H as in ho, and U as in uprising. Promo code IHU during checkout. Let's get back into the show. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party. Let us move into our next segment. It is called Fuck Me, and it is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And this week, I am talking about the thing that I talk about every week, and that is how Samantha got her virtual groove back challenge, in which I go on a virtual socially distant date every week and report back to you how it is. On this past week's date, I had a work date with my homegirl, and we, as Inner Ho Uprising co-hosts, did a virtual drink and draw along with Rob and Rod, and that was fun. We drew butts.
It was so much fun. Like, I have no artistic capabilities, as you may see from the butt drawing that Samantha posted.
Yeah, you can see our butt drawings on Instagram.
But it wasn't even about that. It was really just like me sitting at home, connected with my homies, as we all sit here and talk about how we can't draw, and yet they churn out these amazing ass drawings. I'm like, these hoes, lying ass, artistic asshole.
Yeah, we did butts, and then we did anime bad bitches, which I'll post maybe like with when this episode drops. And everybody's like on the same page at first and just like a mess and like, oh, this looks like an alien, this looks like a robot, this is not a bad bitch at all. And then after a while, me and Aku are silent and these niggas, Rob and Rod, are just like, okay, this shit is coming out amazing. And I'm like, where, what? How did we digress? What happened? Because I thought everybody was struggling.
When did me and Sam go left and when did you two go right? How? Because we were all struggling. Okay.
Oh, man. Shout out to the anime bad bitches, though. That this is very fun. I suggest that you all do that. If you want advice on how to, you can listen to the last episode because I gave instructions on how to do a virtual drink and draw date. This week, my cute date suggestion to you all is to watch the sunrise or sunset virtually with your bae or baes. So here's how you do it. You Google when the sun rises or sets for you. Google has that information. It'd be like 7:37 p.m. or whatever. It's also in your weather app. Then you get that information. Then you set up a time. So it actually might be different for you and your bae depending on where you are. But if you're in the same time zone and hemisphere and all that good stuff, pick the same time. You sit by an eastern if you're watching the sunrise, or a western if you're watching the sunset facing window. That's also something that you can find out with your, well, if you live in a place, honestly, if you've lived there for long enough, you should know where the sun rises and where the sun sets if you live there and you're like looking. But if you need to know that information, you can open up the compass app on your phone, which should be in all phones at this point. Honestly, you look north, and then to the right when you're facing north is the east, and to the left when you're facing north is the west. So there you go. You have your directions. If you have a porch or a patio, you can sit out there. If you have a fire escape, you can sit out there. If you're somewhere where you can actually be outside and still socially distance from others, sit there. Call your bae on FaceTime, and you can chill and chat as you watch as the earth makes another revolution on its axis. You can both set your cameras to the sky so you can see one another's perspective, or you can just look at each other's beautiful faces and reactions to the other sunrise and sunset. Or you can do both. Be cute, be safe, and watch nature do its wonders.
That sounds so cute. That reminds me of when I used to be a young hoe and would be like on the phone with niggas and like all night until the sun came up.
Yeah.
When we never watched it because...
too busy hoeing, obviously,
you know, but now
that's another thing. That's the reason why I thought of that for this week, because I've seen a lot of people being like, I'm always weird and like stay up till very strange times or whatever, but I've seen people being like, oh, my time schedule is so off, I'm up to like 5 o'clock in the morning now. Well, mm-hmm. If you're up, then you know, just do this, might as well,
one more hour and then go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Also, a little bit of updates. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to get my anger out on the podcast because I didn't get to get it out on this person. So I was speaking to someone on Hinge who literally works in a hospital, and like he was using Hinge to try to get people to quarantine and chill with him. And he was like, oh, you know, everybody's quarantining and I'm just out here trying to cuddle. And I'm like, what? You mean like right now? This is after he told me that he works in a hospital. I'm like, you mean right now? He's like, yeah, I'm a rebel without a cause. And I was like, that's really like dangerous for you to do at this time. And then he unmatched me on Hinge. So I just want to say, fuck you publicly. You're irresponsible and I hate you.
Just, you need your license certification revoked.
First of all, for some reason, men on Hinge, they're not like women or queer people. So I guess they're like really comfortable with like putting their first and last names there. I don't know why they do that. I've seen multiple men do this. And he had a very like distinct name. So I found him on LinkedIn and all that stuff. And I was like, should I just report you?
Yes.
Get you to lose your fucking job? Because you do not deserve that job right now.
You're not even you're not practicing good ethics in that you're literally potentially, you're looking to expose people.
You're saying fuck all y'all. He said fuck all y'all season during a pandemic.
During a pandemic, when you know that your risk of exposure is significantly higher than the average person's, because the sick people come to you for help. You are then saying, I am going to find potentially healthier people.
Yep.
And potentially expose them.
And then send them to another hospital. Because I see that my hospital is being overrun with people and I don't give a fuck about that. And I don't give a fuck about other hospitals either. I don't give a fuck about anybody else. Like, I really understand, like, this is something that I actually didn't have much sympathy for like when this all started, but like now as it's going on, I'm trying to empathize with people and how they're dealing with isolation and how it can be difficult and things like that, and having those like passing thoughts like, oh, should I just like go hang out with this person or whatever, I want affection, but like to just blatantly be doing this on dating apps with people who you don't even know, like just taking no regard for any, like not even taking a moment to be like, even like while talking to me, being like, you know, it's something that I want right now and it's something I'm really battling with, like just blatantly being like, nah, I'm a rebel without a cause. Like, it's the blatant do not care that really annoyed me about this. So like, there was no humanity in it. And I can't empathize with that. I cannot empathize with that. I'm gonna get me sick, nigga.
Ugh.
But how's it going for you?
Hooch out. So since last episode, I still haven't masturbated, not even in a tub. And I don't see it in the future. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. My son's paternal family also works at a hospital. So he stopped going there because they also have an increased risk of potential exposure. And we're just not doing that. Like, mm-hmm. We're all staying in place. So it's going to be me. I'm going to look at my toys. And I'm just going to wait for a better day. Like, this is it. Recently, I gave in last week and I downloaded a dating app. I'm regretting it. I'm just after Samantha's story, some guy matched with me and his bio says something like for an interesting fact, it was like, I still listen to R. Kelly's music. And I was just like, here the fuck we go.
I hate niggas, man.
And I had to block him. I was like, no.
Of course.
What are we doing? No.
Why would that be an interesting fact?
Why?
You knew it wasn't an interesting fact. You just wanted to piss people off. You just wanted to be an asshole. You just wanted somebody who's on there, like the letter we got a couple of weeks ago where it was like, you know, I'd be arguing with these niggas on here. You just mm-hmm. wanted that interaction. You wanted like a black feminist to come to you and be like, now why the fuck are you still listening to RL on all this stuff? Like, what you wanted was a degradation session. And honestly, you can't get that shit for free. Go pay a dom. Go find and pay a fucking dom to do that. Tired of your bullshit.
So I had to block him. Another guy, we matched. We were talking a little bit. I went away for like an hour. Like, because life happens. I'm not stuck to this. Like, I may be stuck inside, but I'm not stuck on this app. Nor am I talking to you when I have established relationship with people who I can talk to right now. I come back to the app, answered him. I answered the last thing he has said. And he goes, let's have a more fluid conversation when you can. Do you know where we are, sir? This ain't my text messages. It's not my inbox. It's not my DMs. Do you know where we are?
That's quite the goal.
It was literally an hour after he replied that I replied back to him. And he also said, I even forgot what we talked about. Nigga, scroll up.
Scroll up.
You literally just told me what you did for a living. And I said, how's that going in the times of the Rona? Scroll the fuck up. It doesn't disappear.
The wild thing about these niggas on dating apps is like they really like try to abuse you early.
Like
just like quick abuse. And it's like, okay, well, I don't know what you're used to, but I'm not going to be the one. Because what?
I had to leave that on scene. I'm not coming back. There's no fluid conversation. Like, what do you mean you forgot what we're talking about? It's literally the last bubble above this. We've had two exchanges thus far. Another guy came into my inbox. Let me see if I still have that message. He said something like, hi, you're really beautiful and you have great skin. I really admire that. Or like, you have good, healthy skin. That's really important to me.
He wants to wear your skin.
He wants to cut it off of my body and put it onto his. What?
What's that character from Silence of the Lambs? Buffalo Bill or something like that? That's fucking scary.
What? I'm not answering that. I'm not answering this message because you're not. I'm not
exactly.
I cut my skin off and wear it. Why is that important to you?
It's definitely not good times. Unfortunately.
Despite all of that, I surprisingly still haven't deleted it, but we'll mm-hmm. see.
What's the reasoning for that? You just holding out hope?
No, definitely not holding out hope. It's kind of funny to kind of see these messages sometimes. And mm-hmm. it's still the validation that like people think I'm cute.
Okay. Yeah, that's very reasonable. That's very reasonable. Well, Godspeed to you. Godspeed to everybody else out there on these dating apps because it's a tough time. And yeah, keep us updated. All right. let's go into our segment that we like to call Fuck You. It is about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives, and the segment in which we read listener letters. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. And also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail and we'll play it and respond to it on the show. You can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. That is 404-491-9158. And today's letter is from Liz, whose pronouns are she and her. And the subject line that Liz gave us is, I miss the D. So Liz writes, I'm a bisexual, although I mostly date men, cisgender woman living in Memphis, Tennessee. I recently moved here from Dallas, Texas about 3 years ago, and I've settled into my career and have a good social circle. I originally moved here to be closer to my ex-boyfriend, who was a cheater and emotionally abusive, so I had to let that Negro go. I decided to get back into dating slash hooking up after about a year of abstaining from sex, and this is when my soul was snatched from my body. I met this guy at an after-work networking event that I was really feeling. We ended up talking during the whole event and went to a bar afterwards where we talked until they closed. I was definitely physically attracted to him at first, but we really vibed on our first few dates. He was smart and handsome and had the perfect mix of, quote unquote, I used to sell a little dope in college and now I got it together and have a corporate job, LOL. I was all for being friends with benefits and we started having sex a few times a week and y'all, it was good. Like I orgasmed for the first time good. Again, my soul was removed from my African American slash Creole body. Then he ghosted me. I was a little upset for a few days, but I got over it. Niggas be trifling, and that's just the way it is. But I miss the D! Exclamation point. I hooked up with the new guy I'm currently dating, and it's not the same at all. He's a good guy, but I'm just never really satisfied, and I'm too old to be faking it. I even bought new toys to try and get the feeling again. How do I get over missing the D? Is this normal? Thank y'all for such an amazing podcast. With love, Liz. Thank you for writing in, Liz.
So I had a few questions that lingered after reading this. You mentioned 1 year of abstinence. Was this your first sexual encounter after such a long period of being absent? Because that's a key factor. Second, you mentioned first time orgasming. Is that in like ever, like in your whole sexual life? And does that even include masturbation or just lack of orgasming in partnered sex? Also, factor. And the third, have you really gotten over it? Because it sounds like he courted you and then ghosted you, which niggas do. You know, if you're anything like me, we just jump in after the first three dates. I'm planning a wedding, you know, so have you really gotten over it? And could there still be some kind of emotional attachment there? All in all, you may have grown an attachment to him due to these novel experiences. If it was your first sexual encounter after such a long period, plus you add on the layer of your first orgasm in life, that takes a toll on the psyche, forms attachments that we, you know, didn't have before. And it can lead you to kind of romanticizing this D, putting it on a pedestal and making it feel like it's something that you can't ever replicate. Good news for you is that you can, well, not say you can replicate it, but you can and you will have backbreaking, euphoric, mind-blowing sex with somebody else. This is not the D that holds the key to your cards. Like, he does not have the sole key to your orgasm, sis. It is with someone else as well. You will find it again.
That's a fact.
And to... you know, to help with that, I would suggest reflecting on sex with him and identifying what you enjoyed out of that. Again, sex is a whole experience with a person. You know, it could be the way he approaches you. It could be technique during sex. It could be the way he smiles. There's so much that goes into it. So, you know, really sitting back and be like, yo, what did I like? You know, did he always initiate or did he let me initiate? That made me feel empowered, you know. Was there extended foreplay? Did he seem to care more about my pleasure? Whatever was going on when y'all got together, you know, did he always take me out to eat first and then we fucked? Like, cause that, trust and believe, that plays a part. Okay.
Lobster be making me horny.
Fed? You know, thinking about all the things that happened that, you know, led up to sexual encounters, what happened in sexual encounters, what happened after sexual encounters, what you liked about that, and then communicating those things with your current partner. so that they can too provide it for you, but not with the intent of trying to replicate what you had with this old person, because it's not going to happen. You're going to be chasing that first high that you're never going to be able to get again, you know. But what you can do is create something new and enjoyable with your new partner, incorporating these things that you identified that, you know, found really pleasurable and, you know, leading to great sex with them as well. And if not, it could just be because sex with this new partner sucks as well and finding someone else.
Yeah.
This old fuckboy that ghosted you is not the first and only person that will, is not the only, the last and only person that will make you orgasm ever again.
Yeah, like not at all. Those are great points.
I didn't think about this, but as I'm talking, maybe not centering orgasms or this climax as the end all be all to sex. Sex can be very pleasurable. And I know when you get that first nut where we get a little addicted. I remember mine. I remember mine in partnered sex, and I made some bad decisions chasing it. Whew, some bad decisions chasing that. Yeah. So I speak from experience. But I have now learned that, one, sex can be pleasurable without orgasms in each partnered situation. And two, my orgasms are with other people as well, including myself.
Good points.
I hope that helps, Liz. I don't know.
I hope it helps as well. One last thing that, I don't know, this is like a throwaway thing, but you know, this is all a process, right? So you might not get, I mean, first of all, yeah, deprioritize orgasms and prioritize your pleasure, and orgasms will come along the way. But all of this process and all this advice that Akua gave you, you know, like you're going to work up to it, and you're probably going to have some bad sex along the way, unfortunately. But like, there's no shame in using the memories of that old guy to help get you off during sex with other people.
Yes.
It's in the spank bag now. Like, that's the gift that he gave you. That is the everlasting gift that he gave you. So use it.
I love that, Sam. Yes.
Cool. All right, Liz, keep us updated. And now I would like to say, if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising Community, that's CUMMUNITY. You can head over to InahoUprising.com to sign up for our weekly goodies via our newsletter, to pay a ho, or to check out the rest of our merch. You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
You follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen Sam Diego for travel and food photos. Everyone have a safe and happy week.
Yes. Bye.